Macular Unredacted.
Hey, Redactorinos, just jumping in with a bit of housekeeping before we get into the main episode. So, we've heard from the Society's lawyers. Well, technically, they tracked down our website hosts and started throwing around legal threats, defamation claims, high court warnings, compensation demands, reputational damage, the works. I'd laugh if the irony wasn't completely lost on them. Now, here's the thing. While they say we've made multiple errors and that substantial amounts of what we've reported are untrue, in reality, they've only challenged 2 points. First, they allege that Ed Holloway did not receive the £63,000 payout we mentioned in earlier episodes. Now, our research found that Ed left the bank workers' charity under a dark cloud, with both trustees and staff unimpressed by his impact. A credible source told us his departure date, 31st December 2023, was structured for financial accounting reasons, linked to a settlement. We reviewed the charity's annual reports for 2023 to 2024 and 2024 to 2025 and saw the largest payout for that period was indeed £63,000. But having gone back over all our documents and witness statements, we can't conclusively tie every thread together. So here's our position. We do stand by the fact Ed left under difficult circumstances, and we do have credible evidence of a settlement agreement. What we can't now do is conclusively state the amount or the precise terms. So we're retracting the specific financial figure, pending further evidence. Second, they insist the individual described by the charity as a whistleblower, the one linked to management getting hold of staff's private WhatsApp data, was unequivocally not coerced. We've seen considerable evidence that suggests otherwise, and we understand formal grievances on this point remain unresolved. So we're giving the Society's position here as a right of reply. But we stand by our reporting on this front and believe the facts point to a very different story. The thing that's actually most interesting about the legal letter is that they haven't challenged a single material fact about their treatment of staff during the disciplinary process, or their handling of whistleblowing, or about their handling of redundancies, or about their compliance with statutory consultation requirements. It's also interesting that charity funds appear to be getting used to chase down this podcast, in relation to a claim about the CEO's conduct before he even joined the organisation. Look, we continue to apply rigorous editorial standards, and we will always review and correct if new, credible evidence emerges. That's the deal we make with you as listeners. Transparency, integrity, and facts first. And finally, our email servers are still down, but they're being overhauled. Bear with us. We should be back online and able to start replying to you all from tomorrow, Tuesday, the 16th of September, 2025. Right. Let's get into the show. Welcome back to Macula Unredacted, your one-stop shop for all things the Macula Society scandal. I'm your host, Owen Halibut, a blind businessman who's had just about enough of the services my community relies on being dismantled by people who don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing. I've joined forces with friends of Macula Media to bring you this investigative series on how the Macula Society went from a strong culture and steady growth to a governance crisis, a staff morale meltdown, and what can only be described as a car crash in slow motion. Apologies that episode 2 is arriving a little later than advertised. If you caught Friday's bonus pod, you'll know we had to pause while we reviewed new information. And if none of this is making sense yet, maybe head back to episode 1 and catch up because things are about to get complicated. Right. This week, we're going back in time. 2 years before Ed Holloway ever set foot in the Macula Society building as its new CEO. We've been through the email archives, the documents, the witness statements, and we're going to track down the seeds of this disaster. Early warning signs. It's February 2023 and the Director of Services resigns, reportedly under fractious circumstances. Shortly after, Emma Malcolm, then Director of Fundraising, is also appointed Interim Director of Services. Now, in the interests of balance, maybe Emma inherited a tough job. Maybe there were already budget issues before she stepped in. I'm not here to claim she's solely responsible for everything that followed. But the evidence makes one thing very clear. The role needed strategic leadership, and that leadership never came. Through late 2023, emails show two senior fundraisers stepping in to fill the gap, trying to create a services fundraising strategy because, frankly, nothing was happening. They were frustrated. Funders like the National Lottery wanted impact data, scale plans, measurable outcomes. The charity had grown, income was climbing, but the infrastructure hadn't kept pace. Email after email shows almost every department head praising these two fundraisers for trying to plug the gap, while expressing growing exasperation at the lack of any clear plan from above. Trouble under Emma Malcolm. By February 2024, CEO Kathy Yelf is hearing directly from staff about the problems. Key people leaving because of what they describe as a toxic atmosphere. Major funders being stalled because Emma won't commit to numbers or strategy. Meetings where plans turn out to be blank spreadsheets. One email describes Emma presenting an empty budget template and declaring, "You'll all be happy to hear we finally have a services budget." When someone suggested it might be more helpful if there were, you know, actual figures in it, she reportedly snapped, "Oh well, why don't you just piss on my parade?" This isn't a one-off. Email chains show senior staff joking darkly about expecting their P45s anytime they challenge her. Beneath the humour, you can feel the anxiety. Indeed, one of the two senior fundraisers we've been talking about allegedly raised concerns with Jane George, trustee of the Macular Society and chief fundraising and communications officer at the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, during her exit interview. She described the oppressive atmosphere and lack of psychological safety within the fundraising team. Jane, we're told, appeared sympathetic. Yet the internal culture kept sliding downhill, with trustees seemingly more focused on containment and narrative control than on scrutinising management's treatment of long-serving staff with spotless records. Over and over, the frustration boils down to one thing. "The narrative is strong," staff kept saying. "But we need real data. We're not a scrappy startup anymore. Funders expect evidence." By March 2024, the two fundraisers leading the strategy work are at breaking point. Meeting after meeting confirms the same bottleneck. Poor data. No ownership, no urgency from senior leadership. Even Kathy Yelf starts venting in emails, noting that Emma avoids putting anything in writing, preferring quick chats that go nowhere. Emails paint a bleak picture. By April 2024, Kathy is spelling it out. "Emma," she writes, "cannot do this. Waiting for her will take forever. I'm couching it as we, because otherwise it will never get written down." At one point, Emma herself emailed a senior fundraiser, bluntly asking, "Am I doing a shit job?" And at pretty much the same time, in a separate email to a colleague, Kathy Yelf was privately telling colleagues she'd had to personally step in to move things forward, because Emma simply wasn't delivering. By mid-2024, emails show Kathy despairing, Emma spinning plates, producing nothing concrete, while others work around her just to keep things moving. There are even messages suggesting the board quietly warned Emma against applying for the CEO role. Emma herself apparently admitted she was done, that she delivered all she could at the society and was already sending out her CV to agencies. Performance or purge? Now, maybe Emma was set up to fail. Maybe she inherited problems she couldn't solve. But here's what the record shows. Senior staff were trying to build the strategy the charity needed. Emma blocked progress she couldn't deliver herself. Anxiety about her leadership was growing, inside fundraising, services, even at board level. When Emma joined in 2018, the society's income was £4.4 million. By 2024, it was £10 million. Maybe she was the right fundraiser for that stage of growth, but taking the organisation to the next level? The evidence suggests that was beyond her. And there's no shame in that. Not every leader grows with every organisation. The problem comes when livelihoods, quote, and services for vulnerable people get caught in the gap between reality and ego. Cracks in the facade. A few moments stand out in the record, the members comment. Multiple witnesses recall Emma saying, "I don't give a fuck about the members," when challenged on changes affecting them. Mixed messages. Emails show Emma blaming others for delays. Yet in a recorded Teams call after the redundancy announcement, she reportedly became emotional, telling staff it was her fault for not raising the money, two audiences, two stories. Both can't be true. Personal dislike. Multiple witnesses say Emma openly expressed disdain for the regional management team, the very people later wiped out in the restructure. The pattern is hard to ignore, growing scrutiny on Emma's leadership, rising pressure, talk of her exit plans, then a new CEO arrives, and suddenly the people who challenged her are gone. Regional services, the charity's largest area of delivery, dismantled without meaningful consultation. The team raising alarms, dismissed, discredited, or disappeared. The bottom line. Here's where the evidence points. A leader beyond her depth. A charity growing faster than its systems. Services cut with no real consultation. And staff who tried to raise the alarm, purged under a process we've already shown, was fundamentally flawed. The result? A crisis still unfolding. One that started long before the headlines. Well, thanks for joining us, Redactorinos. Episode 3 drops on Wednesday, 17th September. In that one, we'll dig into Ed Holloway's career to date, his arrival at the Macula Society, the cultural nosedive that followed, and how on earth this whole mess kicked off. Then on Friday, 19th September, we'll turn our attention to the management and trustee board's treatment of the original fundraising whistleblower, and how that spiraled into a completely incoherent approach to whistleblowing protections across the board. That episode will also set out our updated release schedule so you know exactly what's coming next. A quick apology while I'm here, I know episodes keep landing late in the day. Scheduling consistency is proving a tricky skill to master. But we're getting there. Expect things to be a little erratic this week before we settle into a regular morning release slot from next week. Finally, we're encouraging all Macula Society staff to join Unite the Union. We're building an organisation within the organisation, a collective voice, so that the people who actually understand the work get to shape its future. All right then, thanks for lending me your ears for another ride on the roller coaster. Take care of yourselves, and until next time, try not to trample on anyone's employment rights. Got it?